Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast number 135. I am your host, GPD, in Tokyo, Japan.
And I am Wombat. Lashana tova to Gatenu, my friend.
What?
Lashana tova.
Oh my god, I didn't know what you were saying.
I'm saying Happy New Year.
Thank you, Wombat. Thank you.
Happy Jew Year.
So, you know, the reason why this show was delayed for one day was not because of Rosh Hashanah.
No, that was a misnomer on the threads. It had nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah, actually.
Why don't you explain?
It was, yesterday was Sabrina's baby naming. For those who don't know what a baby naming is, I'm sure many of you are familiar with what a bris is. For a boy, that's when they do the old snippy snip. Right. A baby naming is the same thing, but for a girl, since there's nothing to snip. They basically, the rabbi who came to my house, officially named Sabrina in the Jewish faith.
Right. Well, so, you remember that I went through the same thing with Ty.
Yes.
My mom really wanted us to do that. There was a little bit of friendly pressure put on us, and we did it. So what's Sabrina's Jew name?
That's a very good question.
You don't even know?
I have no idea.
What do you mean?
It's Simcha something. I forget the middle name.
Oh, my God.
I know. I'm terrible.
You know what Ty's Jewish name is?
What is Ty's Jewish name?
You don't know Ty's Jewish name? Oh, my God. I'm not doing the show. Forget it. I'm out of here.
Yes, I see your point. But that's different.
Yes, well,
it is different.
I actually forgot to know. It's Jacob. Like Jacob.
Yeah.
But Jewier.
Exactly. Simcha is supposed to be like whatever S name, Simcha is the Jew name you get.
That's the go-to name?
That is the go-to name. There were 40 people in my house yesterday.
Did you have bagels and lox?
No, we had corned beef sandwiches. Corned beef, pastrami, and turkey.
God.
It was good. And fruit salad and all sorts of crap. I have sandwiches to last me the next year and a half left over.
Did you have any pastrami?
Yeah, so everything is left over. I know. It was good, too. And I can't believe I was able to fit that many people in my house. I gave you the tour.
Right. Well, you clearly are living the high life in your little mansion.
Yeah, exactly. The mini mansion.
Right. With your Mexicans doing the, you know, Wombat was showing me his landscaping bill before the show. He's got his own little army of Mexicans mowing his lawn every week.
And they do a terrible job. But I guess you get what you pay for, I think is what
right.
they say.
Right.
And they don't charge me very much.
I see.
I actually have a good story for you before we get started.
Go for it. Lay it on me.
So it reminded me, I have to tell the story because it reminds me of your story about the time you saw the girl on the bicycle with the panty shot.
Oh, the high school girl wearing the skirt and her,
yes.
You know, the wind blew up her panties and I got a little treat.
Exactly. Well, today I get on my train and you're familiar with the Long Island Railroad, but for those who aren't, their seats are all pretty standard, like a bus. You know, you have seats going across and everyone faces the same direction. But then it gets to a point where the seats change direction and for some reason face in the opposite direction, which leaves this row in the middle of seats that have to face each other.
Right.
And if you get on the train too late, you get stuck on one of those seats where you have to stare at someone who's basically less than a foot away from you.
Right.
For an
hour. Hated those seats because I can't, there's no leg room there. And I couldn't even sit there because I would, you know, I just would not be able to physically fit.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot of trouble for a lot of people. But mm-hmm. It was all I had left, and I was the first person actually to get to that section. So I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll get lucky and no one will sit across from me. Of course, that wasn't the case. I had one smelly guy sitting next to me. I had another smelly guy sitting diagonally from me, and this woman sitting across from me. Woman, girl, however, probably in her mid-20s, we'll say.
All right.
Attractive. Not like, oh my god, this is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life, but, you know, not an ugly woman either. Attractive woman. And we're sitting on the train, and out of nowhere, she just reaches into her purse, and she pulls out an apple.
And okay.
And I don't know if she was on ecstasy or if it was the greatest apple she's ever had in her entire life. But all of a sudden, she's like, licking her fingers, putting the apple in her mouth and just sucking on it for a little bit. And me and these guys around, the two guys next to me, just staring, trying not to look. But you couldn't help but stare at this woman eating this apple like it was the greatest thing in her life.
Wow. I thought her legs were going to be spread for sure.
They might as well have been. Like, she might as well have just had her hand down her pants while eating an apple.
Very nice. Well, that sounds like that's a great way to start your day.
And that was actually, that was how I came home from work today.
Okay. A good way to end your day.
It was a good way to end my day.
Now, also, didn't you attend some sort of event this week? Some sort of gaming event?
I did. I didn't know if you wanted to talk this later, but I guess we're going right into talking about video games today.
Let's talk about that.
Huh? Yeah. Well, I played Mortal Kombat versus DC last Wednesday.
They had some. They had an event in New York City.
Yeah, at the Hudson Hotel.
The Hudson Hotel. So that's,
the Hudson
that's
Hotel.
Then Tribeca or something? Or
no, it's actually uptown. It's on West 58th Street. Anyway, I get up there, and you go up there, and they were having this, and they were also having a Lush Cosmetics event.
Right.
Now, I didn't know this also, and I'm going up in the elevator with all these, like, tall women in business suits. I'm like, wow, that's a lot. This is a very interesting crowd for this Midway event. So I get up. So I get up off the elevator, and there's a guard standing there, and he goes, why are you here? And I'm first, the woman goes, oh, I'm here for the Lush event. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. And the guy goes, okay, that over there. Like, what are you here for? I'm like, I'm for the Mortal Kombat event. And the woman looks
could
at me like,
guess?
Yeah, could you figure out what the short fat guy is here for?
Right.
And the guy goes, we don't have a Mortal Kombat event going on here tonight. I'm like, this is the Hudson Hotel, right? And he's like, yeah, this is a penthouse, right? He goes, yeah, all we got going on is this Lush Cosmetics in Midway.
Right. So, well, you know, these guys don't know.
Yeah, so obviously.
It was at the penthouse.
It was in the penthouse. They had some really nice eats, too. Good food. Mm. Little mini burgers and stuff.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I got to move back to New York. This sucks. I could be going to these events.
You could. It was a good time. And I got to play Mortal Kombat versus DC.
Right.
And it was a pretty close to final build, as in every character was available to play.
Hmm.
So I got to play with all the... I went through and played every DC character at least one round with.
Very cool. So yes. Who's your favorite?
Well, that's where it may surprise you, because I said... When they first announced this character, I said on this very show that I didn't understand why they put this character in the game. And now I will go on record and say that Shazam Captain Marvel is the best character in the game.
Shazam!
Shazam! It's cool. He does some badass shit. Like, he'll grab a guy from behind, say Shazam, and the big lightning bolt will strike the dude right in the chest.
Oh, that is cool.
It is cool. He has some really cool moves. Well, it turns out that when they got the license... Ed Boon, who is a fan of our show, I found out.
Really?
Yes. One of the producers from the game was there, whose name I can't recall right now because I'm a jerk. But he was telling me how he listens to our show, and he started listening to it because Ed is a fan of our show.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Shout out to you, Ed.
Yeah, Ed. Ed Boon in the house.
Posty! That's the other dude, but close enough.
Whatever. And, But yeah, it turns out that when he got the license, he had a directive that Captain Marvel had to be in the game because that's his favorite character. So I think he may have given him a slight edge because his moves are kind of easy to do and really powerful.
Cool. So who else did you play? And who else? What was the Joker like?
The Joker plays really well. He's a lot of fun. He's kind of quick, and he has a lot of cool, like, fast moves, like little bombs that'll pop out. And he can shoot. Yeah, so it's, you know, it's quick, fast moves. Deathstroke is really good because he's well-balanced. He plays like a Mortal Kombat character.
Okay, well, they all play like Mortal Kombat
characters. Well, not really, no, because Lex Luthor in his suit is really slow.
Oh.
And his best move is firing missiles, which I don't think is very Mortal Kombat-like at all. So,
tell that to Jax.
He's similar to Jax in that but he feels slower than Jax does.
Jax maybe didn't fire missiles. He shot, like, some sort of gun thing.
Out of his mouth. As I make the motion.
Right.
That only you can see. Yes. And, yeah, but that was the game. It was actually, it's a lot of fun. It's very cool. It looks great. And they did a good job with the majority of the DC characters. The only one that disappointed me, Lex Luthor kind of sucked. And Catwoman kind of sucked.
Right, well. What's Catwoman going to do anyway?
Well, that's just it. She, like, her special moves, like, you could play as you know, Batman, who does all sorts of cool crap. He's flying up in the air and sneaking behind people. Or the Flash, who literally runs around the entire screen before he hits the guy. Or Shazam with a lightning bolt, or, you know, whatever. Then you have Catwoman, who jumps and scratches on the person. And it's like,
do they have...
Yes?
Like alternate costumes or anything?
Do you get I asked that, and as of right now, no. There are alternate color schemes, but that's it. That's what I said. I'm like, eh, it sucks.
Right. We need to have, like, you know, like the cool Batman unit from the movie Batman.
Well, I don't know if that's the cool Batman. I want to see old school blue and gray Batman with the yellow circle in the middle.
Right.
That's what I want.
I see. So what is, overall, the game is looking good. You'll be getting it.
The game looks great, and I'll probably pick it up. I mean, you know, we'll see where I am in November. The game comes out in November, so we still have some time. So
November, okay. Yeah. So many games coming out. It's really hard to. Going to be hard to find time.
Exactly. It's hard to nail down what I'm going to get, but if I'm finished with everything else, then yeah, I'll pick it up.
Cool.
Yes.
Well, I did something sort of fun this weekend. On
what'd you do? What'd you do?
Let's see. Was it Saturday? We went to the book launch party, I guess you would call, for Arcade Mania, which is a book about Japanese arcades, and it's written by Brian Ashcraft and Gene Snow.
Very cool.
Brian Ashcraft writes for Kotaku, and Gene... Oh, I'm sorry, his name is actually Jean.
Jean.
He's Canadian, and he writes for Wired.
Jean Valjean.
Wired game blog. And it was a lot of fun, and if you keep holding up those Mighty Mugs on the camera, I'm just going to turn the camera off, because it's really distracting. I don't know. I don't understand. Wombat has this idea we should, you know, have the cameras on so we could be, like, you know, more in tune with each other, and then he just holds up his collection of Mighty Mugs while I'm talking, and I'm supposed to be able to, you know, be able to get a sentence out.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway. The event was a lot of fun. I brought my wife and son, so I had Ty strapped to my chest the whole time while I was drinking beers.
And a baby Bjorn?
I have what's it called? An Echo Carrier or something?
Oh, exciting.
It's very exciting. I got to, you know, of course, talk to Brian and John. Mark McDonald was there, the former 1UP employee. Who's a great guy, and talked with him for a little bit. I met a guy, and I forgot his name, but he worked for this Japanese game development company called Success. Which the funny thing about Success is, if you look at the games they've made, it's really a bad name for the company. They made that game Operation Darkness, which is that World War II real-time, a turn-based strategy game.
Oh, the one Atlas published, right?
It was, with the vampires and werewolves and shit that got, like, totally crushed by reviewers. But he was a nice guy, and I don't know, it was a really fun event. I definitely recommend that anyone who listens to the show is going to enjoy this book, Arcade Mania. That is coming out in January, I think, in the United States. You can get it from Amazon, and I'll link to it in the show notes. But it's a very nicely put together book. I had all the Ashcraft and Jean autograph my book.
Excellent.
Ashcraft wrote, "I love you, Cheapy." That was his dedication. Not dedication.
His
whatever you call it.
Signature. His autograph. Signature.
Autograph. Anyway, cool. So it was very, very fun, and... congratulations to those guys.
I went to lunch with two kegs today, two of our show listeners.
Really?
Yeah, I went to lunch with, from the forums, The Real Delphar and TechJet.
Oh, okay. I know Delphar, he takes a lot of pictures.
Yes, he takes a lot of pictures at events when he goes to things for us, which is very nice. And they were in town for the holiday, I guess, and we went to lunch, and it was a good time. Oh, we had Thai food.
Nice.
Yes.
Did you pay for them?
No. we paid for our own food.
Right. You're too busy spending all the money on those stupid Mighty Mugs. You can't even take anybody out for lunch.
Exactly. That's where all my money goes.
Right. All right, Wombat, let's talk a little bit about last week's show and read some of the show feedback. Of course, the big subject of last week's show was the whole Wombat's Bullshit blog contest, and I guess the Kotaku reaction to it was a part of that story.
Yeah. We should give a little shout out to Giant Bomb and the Player One podcast, who both said very nice things about us on their shows about this whole event.
Yeah, I mean, most people, and I don't want to dwell on this too much because we spent a lot of time talking about it last week, but people get, some people complaining that we don't read enough show feedback or we stop doing it. So, yeah, so let me just read some of the feedback. Vanilla Shaking It says, fantastic show, Cheapy and Wombat. I felt like I was bipolar. One minute I'm laughing, the next I'm thinking about what an asshole Crescente is. Anyway, I really appreciate that you guys did this, and I hope neither of you regret it too much. Anyways, have a great week, everybody. I kind of forgot that he wrote that line there about Crescente. I probably, maybe I would have skipped reading that.
Yeah, what can you do?
No, I don't think Crescente is an asshole, and I'm going to try to make up with him before Tokyo Game Show to, so it's not awkward for anybody, basically.
Yeah.
DeFatty says, is it possible that Crescente wasn't merely embarrassed by a fake story, but by the fact that the story indirectly came from a friend? I know I'd be pissed if a friend of mine pulled a prank like that. I know you didn't actually create the story, but I still think Crescente's reaction stems from this perceived betrayal by a friend. That's sort of possible. I don't know. We're not very close, certainly, but he does. You know, we know who he. You know, we know each other. We, on speaking terms, or we were anyway. I think we still are. I'm sure we still are. Mick says, I really enjoy the Kotaku Gate discussion. You guys brought up some great points, especially your wife, Cheapy. I agree with her that these blogs are not the equivalent of the New York Times, but makes me wonder, who is? There's always discussion about who will be the Lester Bangs, or hell, even Roger Ebert of the games industry. But it seems like we're even closer to ground zero than that. Do we not even have a credible news outlet as a starting point? As far as I can tell, we basically have these two extremes. The rumor blogs like Kotaku et al. And or the straight-up PR that comes from publishers and platform holders. So where do we turn for real investigative reporting on video games?
GPD!
No, definitely not GPD. You come to GPD for fart jokes. No, poop. I mean, there's sites like...
jokes.
There's sites like Shaq News and... you know, IGN doesn't post rumors and stuff like that. I mean, they do wind up posting a lot of, you know, previews and stuff, which is basically PR bullshit. But there's definitely sites out there that do not just post any rumor that comes along. And, you know, like, and I'm not trying to single out the blogs that do post every rumor that comes along because, you know, now I say, fuck it. If you want to post every rumor that comes along, do it. I mean, I would take some precautions if I was going to do stuff like that and it was my blog. But hell, do whatever you want. And H. Cornerstone didn't believe me that I changed my mind about this whole situation. He says, I don't know if you really changed your mind. You still have the same problem. Blogs who pretend to be serious news outlets posting fabricated and ridiculous rumors. But you know what? It's not my problem. And it's not your problem. If you don't like it, don't read those blogs. Just ignore them. Like I said, there's other sites out there that... you know, don't post those rumors. They have policies about that, and it's up to you. It's up to you, and it's not up to me, Wombat.
It's up to me.
It's not up to you either.
Oh,
that's what we learned. Maybe,
maybe
you maybe didn't learn it. I
don't learn anything.
No. Anyway, enough about that whole situation. Let's move forward. I'm sure most people have forgotten about it by now, and. Mm-hmm. You know, I just don't like people to dislike me, especially for something silly like this, where they really shouldn't think I'm an asshole, you know?
Well, you kind of are. I mean, irregardless of the...
No. That's completely untrue.
That's unrelated, yes. Assholery.
No. I am far from that. And, it's, you know, if I did something that I really felt was totally wrong and, you know... then I'd be like, you know, fuck it. I made my bed. I have to lie in it. And if they're going to hate, people are going to hate me about it, then, you know, that's fine. But something silly like this, it's like, you know, we got to move past it. Also, last week, I talked a little bit about Rock Band 2, and I was complaining that how hard it was to unlock the songs. And luckily, our CAGcast listeners to the rescue, Deadlight 76 and the Hi,
and it's Deadite.
Oh, what did I say?
Dead light.
Oh. Anyway, they both pointed out that there's a challenge area inside the World Tour mode, and you can play through them, and you can unlock the songs much easier. And I did that over the weekend, and it was good. It helped me.
And it was good.
And it was good. It's pretty cool, like, loading up Rock Band 2 and just seeing that it ginormous list of songs to choose from.
Oh, because you have Rock Band 1 in there, too?
Yeah, I mean, it's
how
just,
big is that file?
It's about a gig and change.
I have 3 gigs of space left on my Xbox hard drive.
Yeah, but you only need really like 2 gigs, I think, free, because, you know, the demo is usually about a gig, and if, let's say you want to play 2 demos at a given time, which is, you know, probably unlikely as it is. You can go through, like I said, if you don't have that much space left, go through your games, because you've probably downloaded like map packs, like free map packs for games that you probably don't even have anymore. You know, like the Rainbow Six, old Rainbow Six games, or, you know, games that you've already moved on to their sequel. You can free up a lot of space pretty easily. I guarantee you could free up at least another gig or two.
Yeah,
no
problem.
Probably.
That requires.
And also with that Rock Band thing, you can delete the songs that you don't like, that you know you're not going to play, like the Rock Band 1 songs.
Yeah. And there's a lot of those.
Right, there are a few of those. Okay, on to some CAG news-ish. I just want to mention that today, Tuesday, is the last day to nominate us for the Podcast Awards. That's Tuesday, September 30th. If we do win the nomination, then we'll bug the shit out of you to vote for us for the Podcast Awards. Please nominate us for the People's Choice Award and the gaming category. That would be greatly appreciated. You just go to podcastawards.com.
Yes.
Yes, that would be great. And then the reason why you should hope that we win is to see Wombat and I fight over the trophy. Because that's going to be
entertaining. Well, you already have one. I get a trophy.
It's not good, though. It's not that good.
If it's the same trophy, then I'll just get the new one. And if it's a nicer trophy, you can have the nicer one, and I'll take the older
trophy. Oh, wow. That's very big of you. Okay, I like that, Wombat. Look at you, Wombat. I think you're growing up.
I just want a trophy.
That's very fair.
It's not fair, but I'll do it because I'm a good guy.
It's fair. Right, okay. It's not fair, but
the conversation we had earlier in the show when I said you're an asshole and you said no, I'm not.
Right.
This is when I say again, but you're an asshole.
Right. Okay, fair enough on that. That's fair. That's fair to call me an asshole.
Exactly.
All right, let's move on to some game shopping news and also CAG News-ish. I'll do one more thing. I just want to give a shout-out to our 5 winners who won $100 gift cards to GameStop.
Stop.
I mean. Excuse me. Stop. We did this weekend promotion with that GameStop sponsored for their buy two, get one free sale on used games, which is now over. But these 5 people have won each one a $100 gift card. And that's GB Carabaros, Jer7583, Rockman Pet, DNO MyArps, and Harassment Panda. So congratulations to those 5 winners. And if you didn't win, I believe we're going to be doing this again in the middle of August sometime. Another sort of weekend big promotion like this.
October.
Did I say August?
Yes. Well, I think that's kind of far away.
Yes, no, it's going to be just in like 2 weeks, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah, I gotta like GameStop, man. They'd like to sponsor CAG.
But not the CAG cast, I guess, anymore.
Well, no, hey, dude, give me a little bit of time.
I have bills to pay.
Dude, you just got a check. Did you not just get a check?
But I got more bills.
Right. Sell some of those Mighty Mugs.
No. I wouldn't get enough. That's the problem.
Right, it's not worth anything. All right, let's do the game shoppy news. Of course, the best of the Sunday ads brought to us by Speedy 1961, and these are good until October 4th. Some deals on Pure. If you're looking to pick up Pure for the PS3 or 360, both Best Buy and Circuit City will give you a $10 gift card with that.
It's a lot of fun.
Also, yeah, you like that? We'll talk about that a little. We'll talk about Pure a little bit later. Baja, which I'm assuming is some sort of Baja racing game. I don't know anything about it.
It's about a Dorito factory.
Circuit City is throwing in a $10 gift card.
It's a Dorito factory sim game.
Yeah. What else? Target has a bunch of $39 deals. Battlefield Bad Company and Call of Duty 4 for the PS3 and 360, Lego Indiana Jones for PS3, 360, and the Wii, and Madden for the Wii. All $39.00. And that's about it, I think, for the best of the Sunday ads in
I
our
agree.
game shopping segment.
Yes.
Okay. On to new releases. There's not very many worth mentioning, apparently, according to Shipwreck, who sees all and knows all when it comes to new releases.
That's his bag, baby.
The word on the street is that nobody does new releases like Shipwreck. Actually, it's Ain't Nobody does
Ain't Nobody.
New releases.
Ain't Nobody.
Right.
Does new releases like Shipwreck.
So we've got Silent Hill Homecoming, which is for PS3 and 360, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never got into those games.
Me neither. I played one. I don't even know which one I played. You
yeah,
were
me
a chick
too.
And you were in a town and it was foggy. That's all I remember.
It sounds like all of them.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's all of them.
The problem with that game, I always thought, I mean, I always liked the concept. I liked the idea of sort of like a scary game, but, you know, when you gotta, I don't like the games where you can't actually fight very, very well in them.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Like, I don't mind a survival horror game, but at least, you know, make me powerful enough to defend myself and don't make the controls shitty. But there's no reviews of this game yet, so maybe it's not shitty. I don't know.
Nobody knows for sure.
Nobody knows. Also this week, Sonic Chronicles. That's for the DS.
Yeah.
That's the RPG from
BioWare. It got a mixed review from Destructoid. It was the only review I read on it so far.
Hmm.
Yeah, mixed.
Mixed review. I don't think I have much interest playing a Sonic RPG. What about you?
Not really. Not a DS RPG featuring Sonic the Hedgehog. Like, it's all those things together. It's like, yeah, not so much.
One Up gave it an A.
You know. Oh, I'm sure there are people that are going to love it. It's just, I don't think it's for me.
Right.
That's fair,
Sure. I don't think it's for me either. I put a blog post on the front page from one of our CAG user blogs. One of our members went to the event at the Nintendo World Store in New York.
Oh, cool.
And he took a shitload of pictures. So I like pictures. So that was from Fear 3D.
Yeah, I did. I saw those pictures.
And he also won. They had a Samba de Amigo tournament. And he won a Samba de Amigo iPod Nano.
Yeah, it was funky. It doesn't have songs and stuff preloaded into it, right?
It does.
I see.
And it's color. It's painted like samba-y, I guess you would say. With a Brazilian flair.
That game also getting mixed reviews. Mixed.
Yeah. They don't like the controls for that.
No.
Also, what else do we got this week? I think that's it, right? I mean,
yeah, I'm looking at the list right now. We said that Spyborgs comes out this week on
the
Wii.
Forget that. Forget Spyborgs. Mega Man 9 for Xbox Live Arcade.
Arcade, yeah. Yeah, I'm looking right now if there's anything that we care about, and the answer is...
There isn't.
No.
Okay. Before we get into our main console discussion, there's an article on this website, Crispy Gamer, called about embargoes, media embargoes, and the gaming industry. Now, the article was very long, so I didn't actually read the article, but I like the headline. The headline was, "Are embargoes really necessary?"
I would make fun of you, but I did the same thing.
Right. I mean, you clicked through and you looked at it, and then you said, wow, this is 4 pages, and I don't know if it really needs to be 4 pages.
Yeah.
And then I got too intimidated, and then I didn't read any of it.
And it's a very timely topic because the Gears of War 2 embargo lifted today from their last preview event, which is why if you go to every website on God's creation, there's an article about Gears of War 2.
Right. I mean, it seems to me that embargoes are pretty, not only are they silly, but they're pretty unfair because the embargoes are usually not universal. Like, there's always one site that will be able to avoid the embargo because they've worked out some deal with the publisher, you know. And usually those deals are pretty shady. Like, you know, the deal is, you know, we're gonna give the game a score over 9 or something. Or, you know, we've worked out some sort of advertising deal on our magazine for you. It seems to me that I don't understand. I mean, embargoes basically are the exact opposite of what journalism is all about.
Would you be breaking the story when it's when there's a story to be broken?
Exactly. I mean, you go to an event and you see a game, you should be able to talk about it.
I think it's funny. I think it adds a fake sense of importance to the video game industry as a whole.
Why is that?
Well, oh, this is very important. You can't talk about this until September 30th because it's so important.
Right. I mean, while you're talking about, like, you know, the online mode of some stupid shooting game.
Of a video game. As if I knew about this on September 2nd or September 30th, it would have changed things. Like, the Dow wouldn't have plummeted if we had known about Gears of War 2 3 weeks ago. Which is really scary, by the way. Do you know what happened in this country today?
I heard my wife just sent me an email about Black Monday.
Yeah, the stock market dropped over 700 points. I think last I heard it was 744. It may be more than that now. Yeah, it's the largest drop in the history of the country, I believe.
No. Since 2000 and since like the Monday after September 11th.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
I don't own any stock.
I don't know what I own.
I don't own any.
My wife tells me we own something.
Yeah. Anyway, Wombat, the whole embargo thing does seem really silly to me. I mean, I can understand it if it's like you're protecting some sort of trade secret and you don't want the competition to know something, but it's never about that. It's all about, you know, controlling the message about the game companies, controlling the message, controlling the quote-unquote journalists who really, in this case, aren't journalists, but they're just messengers.
Yeah, yeah.
They go pick up the message and they said, okay, this message is to be delivered on, you know, September 30th. Don't open the envelope until September 30th.
But because they want to be invited to the next event, they do it.
Yeah, and they sort of have to do it. Otherwise, they're going to miss out on the next one. It seems I'd love to see a company come along and say, you know what, screw this. We're not doing any embargoes. It's, you know, come look at our game. I don't know. The whole thing, see, is just one of the things that makes game journalism sort of a joke.
It also brings up an interesting point also because it means that your game isn't being talked about for a period of time. It's a conversation I actually had with Minor Nelson because I IM'd him the other day and I go, you know, your game comes out in a month, speaking of Gears of War 2, and this was last week. I'm like, I have barely seen any marketing for what should be the biggest game for Microsoft this holiday season, for Microsoft Publishing Studios.
Right.
And I've barely seen anything, any real hype for it yet. It should be hyped. But I feel like it's not being hyped enough from, you know.
Well, it's not coming out till November, by the way.
I thought it was coming out late October. Is it late October or whatever it is? Nope. First week of November, last week of October? Yep. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Same thing. In a month. So. Right.
Fable is coming out in October.
What is? Yes, Fable is coming out in October. So, and that's another thing. I mean, I feel like I haven't been seeing enough. Well, you have Peter Molyneux open up his big mouth every 5 seconds. Right. And actually, as of today, if you read the internet, you have all these interviews with Cliffy B, or Clifford Blazinski, as he goes by now. Just today, he started opening his mouth. Also, like, there was some sort of, like, he had it marked on his calendar. Today's the day I give an interview with Eurogamer where I say something stupid.
They probably did all those interviews in advance, and they weren't allowed to run them until today. Until
That's
the embargo lifted.
And you think it would be smarter to do it in steps, even. Like,
well, that's
do an
a
interview
question.
With Eurogamer this week, release some trailers to all the websites next week, screenshots the week after, announce the pre-order bonus the week after that, and do that throughout the entire month of September. And so when October 1st comes, everything that they released today would have already been out and discussed for over the last month.
Or you could say, the flip side of that is you could say, if you do an embargo like this and everybody releases everything on the same day, it's just like a tidal wave of information and you can't miss it.
Exactly, and that's just annoying.
And that's just annoying. So you don't like that.
I think I like the trickle-down marketing theory.
Spread them.
Yeah.
Spread the
out,
love.
Spread it out over a course of time so you get a little bit of it every day and it's always on your mind as opposed to a lot at once. And then what, we're going to see nothing again for another 2 weeks?
Yeah, maybe it seems like lazy PR almost. Like
maybe. That might be it too.
All right. Anyway, if you want, you can check out that article on Crispy Gamer, and let me know if you like it, because it's too long for me. I have very short attention span.
And the stock market dropped 777 points, and it is the largest drop in single-day history.
Oh, it is? Okay. Yep. Maybe it... okay, wow. Look at that. All right. Now you really need cheap-ass gamer.
And now I really need cheap-ass gamer, or my own website.
Right. All right, let's get into the console discussion, Wombat.
Yeah, yes, cheapy D.
I don't know. All this stuff is sort of like blends together, maybe. I don't know. Let's start talking about Microsoft, I guess. And I'm going to start with this letter from Frisky Tanuki. Not really a letter, Wombat. It's an electronic transmission.
Like an email?
He says, hey, cheapy and Wombat, what do you guys think of the name... the name of the Xbox 360's new dashboard update, the new Xbox Experience. Does it sound too much like PR speak instead of a more functional name? And how long do you guys think that Microsoft will keep calling it the new Xbox Experience before just calling it the dashboard, if they ever will? Yeah, I hate that name. It gives me douche chills. It sounds exactly like PR speak. I got a great name for it, Wombat. Let me run it by you, okay?
Please, I can't wait.
Okay, here it comes. The new dashboard.
Wait, slow down. What? Can you write it down and show it to me on a piece of paper?
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like that would be fine.
I was going to call it the magical mystery dashboard experience.
That's good. I like that better. Yeah. Magical mystery dashboard experience.
Yeah, magical mystery dashboard experience.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's terrible. It does sound like PR speak, Frisky. You're exactly right. He also wants to know if we're disappointed that Little Big Planet and Fable 2 will be shipping without their big online co-op features. So it's basically Little Big Planet for PS3 is going to... It'll still have co-op play, but you won't be able to do co-op creation, you know, level creation. And Fable 2 will not have online co-op play. These are both going to be downloadable additions, free ones, I'm assuming.
I would hope so.
It is pretty weird. That's really disappointing. I was very surprised to read that about both of those games.
I was too. I mean, honestly, for both games, especially, yes, co-op play, I think, is more important than co-op creation in Little Big Planet. I don't think it's that big of a deal. The same thing could be said about Fable. I think Fable is probably going to be better as a single-player experience.
Maybe.
For me at least, because I don't know, I hate people.
Right.
Yeah. But so, and it's also good, who knows, maybe it'll work out in favor for, you know, for both games where you do play it alone, and then all of a sudden they download this patch and you play a game that you may not have touched in a couple of weeks because you want to see how it is, and you get into it all over again.
Right. That's a good point.
I'll see the bright side. I'll be positive. Positive Wombat.
Yeah, you're really looking forward to Fable, I know.
I am very much looking forward to Fable. I've heard good things from many people.
Yep.
Many people whose names I can't give.
Because there's an embargo?
Because
you're embargoed?
Because it's embargoed. Actually, these are people above embargoes.
Ooh.
Above.
Who could be above an embargo, Wombat?
I'll tell you after the show, and you'll go, wow, he really is above an embargo.
Shazam?
It's Captain Marvel to you.
Wow. Did you watch, speaking of the new Xbox, I'm not calling it the new Xbox experience. I refuse to call it. I'm calling it
the Jimi Hendrix,
magical...
the Jimi Hendrix experience, the magical mystery, the magical mystery dash. Just call it the
magical mystery dash. Did you watch the video about that?
I watched most of it and I got bored.
I don't know. It looks kind of, I know it's going to sound weird, but I'm really looking forward to making my GBD avatar.
The
guy,
avatars
whatever.
Look good, right? Little 3D models with lots of options.
Yeah, it looks. I was very impressed.
Yeah,
I was very
too.
Impressed with that. The party system looks really cool. See how well that gets implemented. But the idea of being able to jump into a party on the dashboard and then jump right into the game lobby from the dashboard, I mean, that's really cool. That's a great feature.
Yeah.
You stay with those people through, you know, as you switch games, you all stay together. I mean, that's pretty cool.
The magical mystery dash is waiting to take you away.
I am waiting to download it. I can't wait. Okay, I can wait, but yeah. I look forward to it.
Soon, once Live comes back.
Yes. Now, you received Pure.
I did. I got Pure in the mail.
Not Xbox Pure.
No, not Xbox Pure. The game Pure by Disney Interactive.
I see.
And you know what? It's really good.
Really?
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. If you're looking for a good off-road racer that's kind of arcadey with big jumps and tricks, this is for you. I mean, it's kind of
people
like...
People like those games.
Yeah. It has an SSX feel. But mixed in with a racer. It's more of a racer than SSX is. It doesn't have as many tricks as SSX does. So it's somewhere in the middle between like dirt. Somewhere between dirt and SSX is Pure. It has a really cool build mode where you build your own ATV before you start racing. Hmm. And you have all these different slots, and you can build a different ATV for all the different kinds of races. So you could build an ATV where, you know, all the stunt stuff is completely maxed out, and you do that for a freestyle race, and then you do another one where the speed is maxed out for a race. So, you know, it adds a little bit of strategy, and there's fun to that, and, you know, there's colors and dress up and decals and all that fun stuff.
And so you have like a garage. You make a bike, and you can save
an ATV.
The design.
Not a bike.
That's cool.
ATV.
Sorry, excuse me. That's cool. And see, that was sort of my complaint about MotorStorm. And I know people are sick of hearing me complain about MotorStorm, but there was nothing like that for you to do once you finish your race.
I would say the only thing, if you're looking for an off-road racer, is you may want to wait for MotorStorm 2 to see if it's better, because that we don't know yet. But if you don't have a PS3 and you're looking for a good off-road racer, then your only option of that kind of a game, that arcadey off-road, you know, gravity has no... hold here kind of a game, right. That's going to be Pure. Right. And you won't be disappointed with it either, I promise.
That's cool. Yeah, people really seem to like it. There's demos up, I think, on both PS3 and the 360.
It's very pretty,
so you can check
it out. It's a very pretty looking game. The graphics are great.
Cool.
And
very nice, Wombat.
Mrs. Wombat had to get out of the room while I was playing it because the jumps were so high that she was getting nauseous.
Awesome. That they should put that on the box.
That's a box quote right there. My wife had to leave the room. She was getting airsick.
My wife threw up on my shoes while I was playing this game.
Exactly.
Wombat. You also picked up the club?
Yeah, that's my cheap ass pickup of the week. I figured maybe if I do that often enough, we could add it as a feature, but it won't happen, but we could throw it in as an occasional feature. Cheap
Where'd
ass
you get
pickup
it?
Of the week. I got it at Target for $12.
$12, okay.
$12 new on clearance. And it was funny because I didn't know if it was a good price or I thought it would be worth it. So I called Shipwreck on my cell phone. And I go, hey, I'm in Target and they've got the club for $12. You think it's worth it? He goes, I hope so because I just bought it the other day for the same price in the same store. So I'm like, okay, well, at least if you took the plunge, I'll take the plunge. We could play it online together. It's a fun game for $12.
Yeah, I played the demo. I didn't think it was great,
but I do like
third-person shooters.
It's a third-person shooter. It's very arcadey. But if you think of it in the terms of, like, you know, as like an Xbox Live Arcade game, if they released The Club as a $12 Xbox Live Arcade game, the review scores would have been significantly higher. So as
right,
a $12 budget title, it's a lot of fun, and it definitely feels worth it, because it is, you run around, you shoot dudes in the face, and you try to get a high score. It's very, like, old school arcade. It has a new video game feel with a third person shooter with a very old school arcadey, you know, backbone, skeleton to it, where it's do it as fast as you can or get the highest score. Those are the two objectives.
Right.
It's not get to the end of the level. It's not save
right.
this or find this. It's go as fast as you can, get the highest score. And if you don't get the highest score, do it again until you did get it. So it's kind of like an interesting mixture of two genres. Not surprising from Bizarre Creations, the people who made Geometry Wars, to do something like that.
Right.
So
yeah, it's
I recommend
it's funny. It. Isn't it funny how, like, you know, you buy a game for $12 and, you know, it's really the CAG way that the game reviews, like, so don't apply anymore when you buy a game for so cheap. You know, when these guys are reviewing the games, they're basically reviewing it as a $60 product Or I don't even know if they keep the price in mind, but it's definitely, I mean, that's a really important factor.
Yeah, I'm like I said, for a $12 game, I'm perfectly happy with it. I think it's a lot of fun. For $60, I'd be bitching and saying it's the worst piece of garbage I ever put in my Xbox.
Right. For $12, if you kill 2 hours playing it, you've paid for the game.
Basically. And basically. I haven't even played it online yet, and I have a friend that has the game, so at least I even know I can play online with someone.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Lastly, in the world of Microsoft, Xbox 360 in Japan continues to do very well. 2 weeks in a row, they've outsold the PS3 here. Although one of these companies that puts the sales numbers together, I think, disputed last week that they actually outsold the PS3. But whatever, they're doing well regardless of whether they're outselling the PS3 or not. Or rather, they're doing better than they've done in the past. And that, of course, is because of all these RPGs that they have coming out. And
this would be because Final Fantasy is coming out on the same day on both consoles. I can't even say it with a straight face.
I never said that. Now you're just making shit up that I said. I did not say that.
Yeah, I'm funny.
Regardless, they have 3 Square Enix RPGs out. And they get all these Namco Bandai RPGs. And the system's cheap as shit now. It's less, you know, the arcade is less than $200.
You could get a 360 and the club for $112. $212.
That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, congratulations to Microsoft. And now this is great momentum. Riding into Tokyo Game Show with this kind of momentum, it should be really interesting to see what the foot traffic is like at the Microsoft booth, because Tokyo Game Show is next week.
Do you think that Japan, if marketed properly, like, there'd be a market for a game like a Viva Pinata?
They released Viva Pinata here.
I'm sure they released it, but how is it selling? Do you think that it's a game that Japanese people would enjoy? I mean, there are some weird Japanese games.
Here's the deal on that. Here's how you sell it here's how you make that game a success in Japan. You take the exact same game. Strip out this pinata bullshit. You think Japanese people know what a pinata is? I mean, it's like wondering if Mexican people know what yakitori is. I mean, what you do is instead of pinatas, you make it high school girls or like, you know, idols.
I want a high school girl reproduction ranch.
Yeah. So what you do is, or like, you can make it even like high school girl robots, whatever. As long as they're girls wearing...
College age, because that feels creepy to me. Co-ed young girl reproduction ranch.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. As long as they're wearing short skirts and have socks or boots or whatever, and giant eyes and giant tits, the game would move consoles.
Sorority girl reproduction ranch.
Sounds good. Because you know they have this game here called Idolmaster,
yes,
which is sort of what that is like. It's you manage a girl band, like a girl singing group, and it's a 360 exclusive here, and it's an arcade game too. It's very popular.
I bet
it
is.
It's very otaku. they could turn Viva Pinata into that game basically.
They should.
It would sell systems. I'm telling you, Japanese people are very sex starved and pervy. So anything you could work into a video game like that it's gold.
They should just sit on
gold. I tell you,
I just need to film me on the train next time. I could sell that in Japan.
Right.
Yes.
All right. Let's move on to Nintendo Wombat, because there's been some big news,
really,
or a big rumor, but it came from a pretty credible source.
Did it come from someone in a forum?
No, it came from a Japanese newspaper. And that is that there's a new DS coming out. It sounds like it's coming out this year in Japan. And in all like, well, I guess, you know, Nintendo doesn't exhibit at Tokyo Game Show. But they may have a press conference next week announcing this new DS. And the main features of this new DS are it's supposed to have a camera and music playback, like some sort of MP3 player, I guess. And there's also rumors that it'll have improved Wi-Fi connection or improved wireless capabilities. And some people are even saying that the screen may be bigger or better. And the price is expected to be below 20,000 yen, which is, you know, just under $200. So the question is to you, Wombat, if they release this in America, and let's say the price is, you know, 170 bucks or something like that, 180 bucks, would you have any interest in this?
Well, I have an iPod, and I have a camera on my phone, and I have a Nintendo DS. Why do I need a Nintendo DS with a camera and an MP3 player?
Well, supposedly the camera, you use the camera with certain games.
Yeah.
It does seem very gimmicky.
It does. And pointless, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe if the screen is like infinitely better, but I don't know how it could be.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for a handheld with two analog sticks.
What if they added two analog sticks?
No. Then you might get me. That's doable.
Right. They're not doing that.
I know they're not doing that. I'm just sad. It would be nice.
Anyway, I'll probably get it just so I can talk about it.
Cool.
But I guarantee you, like, one of Nintendo's big moves with this has got to be to try to stamp out piracy, because it's a big problem, DS game piracy, in Asia especially. So I bet you this has got some new hardware in it that will stop those piracy cards from working.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in the Nintendo news area, there's some news about Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars, and it's getting some people up in arms because there's a drug-selling minigame as a part of the game. Now, I'm assuming that this is like, you know, like the old computer game, Drug Wars?
Yeah, is it, or maybe like Narc?
No. Where you know, you'll go to one area and you can, like, you'll buy weed in one area and it's priced at, you know, $10 an ounce, you know, $100 an ounce or whatever, which would be very cheap, by the way. And then you go to another area and then you can sell that for, you know, more, or if it's less, you don't sell it. You know, it's like a trading type game.
Like Lemonade Stand.
Well, it's like Drug Wars is the name of the game that it's from. My guess is that's what it's going to be like. But of course, you know, this is going to be the news story now. And you got to wonder if Rockstar puts shit like this in the game on purpose, because they know it's going to get them a ton of free publicity.
It's already working, so I would say it's quite possible. And, you know, maybe it's the only saving feature in a game that really doesn't look that great. So
it does, right, and that's the funny thing, because they haven't really said much about the game yet.
It's going to be, you know, that top-down, old-school style, I believe. Old-school Grand
Theft Auto. I thought I saw a screenshot.
Yeah, me too.
And it was not exactly that style. It was like more of
isometric.
Angled.
Yeah. Yes, isometric.
But
still, it'll. I just know it's going to feel. Personally, I think it's going to feel clunky. But
I wish they just went with the simple, totally top down, old school.
I don't know. I don't think there is.
But I don't know.
I just can't imagine it's going to be particularly good. A handheld, low resolution Grand Theft Auto game, in today's day and age. Just seems not good.
Silly.
Yeah, it seems
but
silly.
It seems to me like this is just an obvious ploy for free publicity. Because out of all the things that we know about the game, this, you know, which is basically, you know, almost nothing, this is what they tell us, which is probably like a really small part of the game.
Do we have listeners that think that this game is going to be awesome, or that are like really looking forward to it?
I doubt it.
Like, is there anyone out there that when they heard this announced, like, finally, GTA on the DS, where it belongs?
Right.
Yeah.
It seems weird.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, in Nintendo, what else do we have here? Oh wait, I just lost my page here, Wombat. That's no good.
Nope.
Wait a minute. Look what I just came across here.
What?
I just typed in Grand Theft Auto on Amazon.
Uh huh.
I just typed in, you know, Chinatown Wars, Grand Theft Auto on Amazon, and it's $50, it says.
That's ridiculous.
That can't be right.
I hope not. Then it's definitely not worth it.
What else do we have this week? The Rock Band 2 for the Wii is going to get online play and downloadable content.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know where you're going to store that stuff, but you can download it.
Right. I guess by the time it comes... When is that coming out?
I have no idea. I wouldn't be buying
it. And you didn't buy Mega Man, did you?
This was our segue into Sony. Because it's out on both consoles. I did download the demo on the PlayStation.
Oh, okay.
Did you play it at all?
No.
Okay, I played the demo. And let me tell you, that game is hard.
Yeah, I know.
Like, unnecessarily, like, I don't want to buy this game. It's so hard.
I bet.
I couldn't get past the level they had available in the demo. So if that doesn't save me $10, I don't know what will.
Right. Yeah, I'm not a big... Speaking of hard games, I've been playing not hard penises, Juan, but I know that's what you're thinking.
That's always what I'm thinking. Ew.
I've been playing The Force Unleashed.
Okay.
And I just got to the infamous Star Destroyer part. Have you read about this?
Yeah, I heard it's very frustrating.
The guy who designed this section of the game...
was probably fired.
He was probably fired, and if he was fired, I feel sorry for him, I guess, but maybe I don't, because he really needs to eat a bowl of dick, because it's retarded.
A bowl
of dick? You can't, you're supposed to, I had a bowl of cereal sitting next to me, so I had that bowls on my mind. let me explain to you this part of the game. You're on like a platform, and... these TIE fighters are attacking you, and you're supposed to use the Force to, like, grab onto the TIE fighters and throw it into each other. And then when you kill all the TIE fighters, you use the Force to pull down the Star Destroyer. And the analog sticks pop up on the screen, and they tell you, like, what direction you're supposed to move the sticks in to get the Star Destroyer in the right alignment so you can bring it down. And then, as you're pulling down the Star Destroyer, eventually another wave of TIE fighters comes, and you have to stop pulling the Star Destroyer down and beat all the TIE fighters, and then you go back to trying to pull the Star Destroyer down, which it, like, reorientates itself. Reorients itself. And, you know, you basically keep doing this over and over again because it takes you so long to defeat the TIE fighters because you can't, the target lock is so broken that you can't lock on to the TIE fighters to bring them down. So I'm playing this in front of my wife last night and she's like, this looks stupid and budget. I'm like, no, I'm like, I gotta get past this. And she's like, stop playing this. Let's do something else. And I go, no. And she's watching me die over and over again. And I'm getting really upset.
At this point, she's in the guest room on the bed by herself. And you're still trying to pull down the Star Destroyer.
I wish. I would have definitely turned the game off. So I'm getting all upset. And she's like, and I'm like, this sucks. This is bullshit. And she's like, well, why are you playing it again? If you don't like it, why are you playing it? And I'm like, I don't know. Don't ask me stupid questions like this. I got to beat this. Eventually, I turned it off because I couldn't get past it. But that guy, eat a bowl of dick. Well,
that was a great story.
It was a great story. I don't know. It sucks. And now I'm going to wind up playing it again today and try to get past it.
I got my new game in the mail today, which I started this before we did the show. I had a chance to play one level of Lego Batman.
Oh,
nice. And it's Lego Batman.
How'd you get that?
I got it in the mail from our friends at, what is it, 1PR? Is that the name of the company?
Really? You're getting free games from Warner Brothers?
Yeah, it's the people that held the Mortal Kombat event. The MK versus DC event sent me a copy of Lego Batman. They asked me very nicely if I would talk about it on the show, and I'd be more than happy to talk about it on the show, because, let's face it, if there's something I know a thing or two about, it's going to be comic books, Legos, and video games. So... you know, especially if you put all three of those things together.
Right.
But, I mean, I haven't gotten very far. I fought Clayface. That's the first level.
Right.
And it has some interesting ideas, little changes to the Lego formula. Like, Batman can pick up a different suit, which gives him different abilities throughout the level. almost like a Kirby kind of a deal.
Right.
Or what was that? Kid Chameleon on the Sega Genesis.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. You know, you pick up the bomb suit and you throw bombs and you blow up certain things so you can get past the level. But it has, you know, different little puzzles even, you know, and you start off with Batman and Robin and it's cool.
And it's got the music.
And it has the music from the movie, which from the first movie, the 89 movie, the Elfman music.
Yep. Yep.
Not a fan.
What do you mean?
I like the music. It's great music. Doesn't work.
You're insane.
No, it doesn't. It feels like it doesn't really go with the gameplay.
Oh, you're saying it doesn't work in the game.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm
okay.
saying I like the music.
Okay.
But in the context,
in the
context of what you're doing, it doesn't quite work.
Was I right that the game looks a little better than the other ones?
Yeah, it looks good. It plays very, you know, the controls are pretty good. I have it on the PS3, as I mentioned, and yeah, it's really cool. So
cool.
I'm sure I'll have more to say next week when I play more than just the first level. So
all right. Mm-hmm. Well, since you played that on the PS3, now would be a good time to move into Sony discussion. I bought Wipeout HD last week.
How is Weepy out?
It's great. I mean, I haven't played a Wipeout game in a long time, and I was a big fan of, I don't know if it was the first Wipeout or one of the early Wipeouts, because I like electronic music, and I like, you know, those types of futuristic techno graphics. It's a very nice polished game for a downloadable $20 game, and it moves really fast. It looks really good. There's no frame rate dropping. A game moves fast all the time. I played it online. There was no problems playing it online. There's no lag. It's very cool. The only problem for me is that I'm afraid to play it in front of Ty because I don't want him to have a seizure.
That's a smart idea.
When you start the game up for the first time, there's like this big seizure warning. Like, you have to agree that you like seizures or something like that. I didn't read it, but
are you going to put in your own custom soundtrack or no?
I haven't looked into that yet. I like the, you know, I'm not bored with their soundtrack yet, so maybe I will. If it's easy to do, I could try. I'll give it a shot. Maybe I'll do that and report back next week.
You can let me know.
I'll let you know. I don't know how hard it is. Can I just like throw that shit on a memory card or something? And then...
You're asking me like I've done it. I don't even have the game.
Okay. Should get it.
Did you get any trophies?
I did. Yes, and I got my first PlayStation trophies.
Excellent. Was it exciting? Was it
not really.
Was it everything you hoped it would be?
It was pretty uneventful. I mean, I don't even care about the Xbox.
Did you stick your Wang in the PS3 after you got one?
It doesn't fit. I tried. It wouldn't fit.
Slot's too big.
Right. It was like throwing a hot dog down the hallway. I don't know. It's a good game. It's a little feather in the cap of the PlayStation Network, I would say.
Excellent.
How's that for a back of the box quote?
Yeah. Too bad there's no bombs.
Right. That's a good point. I also got into the home beta.
Did you?
Now, of course, I wanted to get into the Little Big Planet beta, and I wound up with the home beta, but whatever, it's something.
I got nothing, so you're a step ahead.
You got nothing.
Well, I got Lego Batman, which I'd probably like better than both those things.
I'm sure you would, because the home beta is pretty meh, I guess is a good word to describe it. I'll tell you, I was impressed. You know, when you start it up, you create a character, and I was impressed with the character creator. You have a lot of options. It's very similar to something you would find in a game like Tiger Woods. So a very detailed character creator, and I made my GPD guy, and you basically start off in your house. You have like a home because it's called home, you know.
A house.
And you can decorate the home, and they don't have a lot of stuff available in the beta to put, like, you have like one couch and one chair, and you know, you can't put any, and you can put it, you know, you can rearrange the furniture any way
so
you
it's
want
like
in the house.
Communist home. Everyone has the same thing.
No. It's you can really customize what goes on there. There's you can't put TVs or picture frames in yet, and that was one of the cool features that they've shown off before, is that like if you put a picture frame on the wall, you can load in your own picture. Or if you put a TV in there, you can load in videos, and then people come to your home, they can watch the
Like
videos.
the video that you saw on my Facebook page of the dog and the baby.
Right, like you could put a video like that in, exactly. So that it seems to have like some good potential, but for me the problem is like the implementation. And I don't know if this is just because it's in beta now, because it's supposed to come out pretty soon. It's supposed to come out, this fall. Definitely got to come out before the holidays.
You'd think.
The way they have this set up, and it's really like ass backwards to me, a lot of this shit. First of all, you download the beta. It's like a 30-megabyte file, which is really small, or something very small. The problem is, it's only like part of it. So then, when you travel to each area, you wind up having to download that area, and it's so slow. It took like 20 minutes to download, like a 20-megabyte file or something ridiculous like that. And so that's like retarded. I mean, why not just include it all together? Or speed up the download times, because it's who wants to wait 20 minutes? Also, you can play games inside of home. So like there's like this like arcade area you can go into, and there's like a thing of video games, there's like a video game room with arcade machines in it, and you just walk up to the machine and you can play these games, which are, the simple games, and that worked okay. They also have like bowling alleys and pool tables, and you walk up and you can play these games too. Now here's the problem, and I don't know if this is going to be fixed in the full version, but I'm talking about the beta here. If somebody is playing that game, you can't play it. If the arcade machine is occupied, it's occupied. You can't play
Like a
it.
real arcade.
Like a real arcade. If the bowling alley, there's like four bowling alleys, and if people are bowling on them, you can't bowl. So of course, the bowling alleys were full up. The pool tables were full up, so I couldn't even play them.
That
Which seems retarded.
sucks.
It's like, why would you make the game like that? Why would you make home like that?
Because it's an interactive experience and it's supposed to be like real life.
But here's the thing, you don't watch the people bowling. You just see them sitting in like those chairs like behind the lane
Oh,
that you
yeah.
sit in before it's your turn. You don't actually see like
Can you communicate
guys
with those
getting up.
people?
You can chat. I don't know if you can communicate. Yeah, I think you can. I'm not sure.
Because
I don't know
you
because I
can
wasn't
go up and
inside
say,
the game.
hey, can you get out of your game so I can bowl? And then you can get into
I
a
don't
fight with
know.
people.
I'll tell you what, there was a glitch when I made my guy, and for some reason, he had no legs.
I
So,
have no legs.
he had feet and a body and a head and arms, but he had no legs. So I
Phantom, the
was walking
phantom
around,
limb.
and people were like, because you can chat with people. And I see everyone's speech bubbles coming up. I'm like, ah, that guy's got no legs.
That's funny.
And then I would do the robot with no legs.
GPD, the legless robot.
Anyway, I don't know. It just seems to me like this thing home, it looks like it could be like interesting, but so far the implementation of at least of the beta seems, and I know it's the beta, don't yell at me. I'm just talking about it as it's a beta. It could get better, but to me now it just seems like a vehicle to serve advertisements and to sell you like new shirts and furniture for your fake house.
Yeah.
It seems like a way to make money for Sony.
Well,
And that's every I mean everything is, but this seems like that was the point of it. Like
no
that
one's
was
gonna
the
force you to use it, and you probably won't. So that's the end of that. I
exactly.
think it's the moral of the story.
And lastly, a couple of our listeners sent me a YouTube video of somebody who made a penis level in the Little Big Planet beta.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
Yeah, so that's you were right, Wombat. Once again, you were right.
I don't know if I'm right yet. One penis level does not a typhoon of penis levels make. But
You're that's
it
right.
only took 3 days for someone to make a penis level.
Right. This is in the beta. The game's not even out yet.
Exactly. So we'll see. I'll hold my penile judgment until the end of
It
till.
was ejaculating too, wasn't
Yeah, and it has a reservoir tip.
it? All right, Wombat, let's move on to Kegs on News. And of course, this is where we talk about all the stuff that doesn't fit into those three neat little categories. You know, Jack Thompson was disbarred in Florida.
I heard.
Last week.
Yep.
And the president, I guess it is the president of the ESA, sort of blames the gaming media or blogs or whatever for giving Jack Thompson credibility. Oh, I'm sorry. He's the former head of the ESA, Doug Lowenstein.
Well, it's partially he says, true.
His quote was, "The media knew well that he was a charlatan who wholly lacked credibility, but hey," they said, "he was news and could not be ignored. That was a cop-out. It gave Thompson a platform he might not have had for as long as he did." You know, if you remember, Wombat, many shows ago, I said, I'm not talking about Jack Thompson.
And now here we are.
Well, he's I'm just kidding. He's gone. It's like if he was dead, yeah. Basically, I think, at this point.
Lovely.
So I sort of agree. I kind of agree with Doug Lowenstein.
Well, I don't think anyone argued with you.
No, but so it's just you and me talking right now. Of course not. How would you know if somebody's arguing?
No one's going to argue with you. Is that better?
That's not true because the guy who writes for Game Politics.
When you said it.
Right. I know. But I'm just saying, I just think that the problem is Jack Thompson equals page views.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack Thompson, you know, a story about John Thompson is like pretty much a big hit on Dig. Dig equals page views. And that is why you would see a shitload of Jack Thompson stories everywhere. Because people liked reading about the guy. To me, I always had the mentality is like, you know, this guy's a jerk off. Why are we going to, you know, feed into his whole thing? His whole thing was getting you to talk about him.
He's no Uwe Boll.
Right. And now I guess he's gone. I doubt that he's going to be asked to be on TV shows now that he's been disbarred.
Yeah, I doubt it. Well, you never know.
So I sort of agree that people were wrong to give him so much coverage. I mean, once in a while, I guess it's okay. But, you know, every little thing that this guy does, I mean, shit, Game Politics, that whole website was basically all about Jack Thompson.
Yep. Now what are they
going to
do?
Every little thing. The guy takes a big shit. It's on Game Politics. Jack Thompson takes big shit.
Blames GTA.
Anyway. Right. GTA clogged my bowl, I think, was the headline. Okay. Also in the news, Wombat, EA has been sued over the DRM for Spore.
It was bound to happen.
Yeah, of course, because in America, people will sue you over anything.
Basically.
So people do not like this Securom. That's the name of the
yep.
DRM. Everybody hates Securom. That's a terrible name, by the
way.
Well,
it sounds like, was it Skynet?
Yeah, it does. It sounds like something that you would want to hate, even if you didn't know anything about it.
I have been sent to kill John Connor.
Securom. Securom has become aware. We must blow the computer. I don't know. I feel like if they had maybe like a better name, a more friendly name for it, like maybe people wouldn't be so quick to say like Securom sucks if the name was something different. Or
what was it? I think it was Tricon Global Food Corporation. Their company that changed their name about 5 years ago. Now they're called Yum Corp.
Right.
That's
they
true.
Should, you know what? They should. Securom should change their name to like Jews.
No, I don't think that would work.
Or black people, blacks. They should call it blacks.
Oh, because then
people.
No one can write
people
an article.
People want to write in the forums. They're like, I hate blacks, or blacks suck, or Jews suck, or fuck the Jews, or you know something like that.
I get it. It was a cute joke.
Yeah, right. I don't know. It just seems like everything went wrong with that whole Securom thing.
Yeah.
Sunshineware is good. Before we get into the CAG bag, one last thing. Activision has trademarked Dance Hero. So the entire copying of all of Konami's music games, the circle will be complete. Once they get a Dance Dance Revolution clone, they'll have it all.
But with better music.
They'll have it all.
Licensed.
All right.
Music.
All right, Wombat, time for the Keg Bag.
I love the Keg Bag.
Magitech. Magitech85 says, Wombat, I know you were whining about Joystick mentioning Cheapy and not you. Just wondering if you noticed that in their most recent episode is the second time they've closed out the show to the music of the Wombats instead of their normal music. Maybe their subtle way of saying, hey?
I don't know. I guess I'll have to ask. I never noticed that they've played the Wombats, but I guess I just don't know well enough. I like that Red Eye song, though. That's a good song.
I don't know anything about a Red Eye Wombat, but
Nick Cave,
I'm glad you
good
like
stuff.
It.
Yeah.
Jay Bling Blang says, "This question for both of us. Most marriages involve a couple having a joint bank account. There are some couples who don't have one and instead have their own separate ones and split the bills when it comes to that time of the month. With that being said, do you guys have joint accounts or separate accounts?
You like anything that has joint in the name?
I do. I do." You gonna answer the question?
Oh, I thought you was waiting for you. I'm like, wow, that was the most awkward silence I think we've ever had on our show. We actually don't have a joint account. Well, no, we have a joint savings account, but we each have our own checking accounts. The only reason why we have our own separate checking accounts is because we had them before we were married, and we're both too lazy to go to the bank and cancel one. I've had my same checking account since I was 11 years old.
Right, for your, it's got your bar mitzvah.
It has, it, yeah, and the co-person on it is my dad.
That's great.
Yeah, it's the same account. I just never got rid of it. So, and that's my wife is the same way with hers. We just never got rid of ours, but we do share our savings account, which is where the majority of our money is anyway. So I guess it's
right. That's where the Wombat fortune
exactly.
is.
Exactly. So if the answer, I guess the answer is both.
Both, okay. For us, we both we actually have separate accounts.
That's because your wife doesn't trust you with her money.
Maybe. Maybe I don't trust her with my money. You ever think of
that? What is she going to do with 50 cents?
Hey, in this economy, probably not much, I guess.
You couldn't even come up with a comeback for that.
I couldn't, no.
That was disappointing. No. Hey.
We actually, we do have a, we have a joint account that has our wedding money in it.
Yeah.
But I don't even know what's going on with that. Anyway, Blue has two questions. Wombat, over on the Joystick podcast. Wow, a lot of Joystick questions here. Chris Grant says that of the 90 million copies of Grand Theft Auto, well, I guess they didn't sell 90 million copies. He's being facetious there. He says he doubts that less than 25% of the people who buy Grand Theft Auto finish the game. And he says, I always play through Grand Theft Auto, and how could you not finish it? Do you think that number is accurate?
I got bored of Grand Theft Auto, and I have not finished it.
I have not finished it either. Grand Theft Auto has always been a game that I'll play the shit out of it when it first comes out, but I won't finish it.
You know why?
And then eventually I'll go back and I'll finish
because you can only drive someplace, shoot someone, and drive back, drive to another place, shoot someone and drive back, drive someplace, shoot someone.
Well, and it's very long.
Oh, yeah. You know, so many times before you go, okay, I want to do something else now. That is, I think, the, I'm not going to say the failure because the game is obviously not a failure by any stretch of the imagination, but that would be the, I guess, the shortcoming of that sandbox style of game is that if you don't have a reason to get to, if everything's basically open from the beginning, there's no level 2 to get to. What does level 2 look like? What does level 3 look like? What building have I not seen yet? But once you've seen it and if you see that all before you finish the game, then, yes, the only thing keeping you going is the story. And if after a while you just don't care. Like, you know, it's hard for me to care about these characters, to be perfectly honest, because I'm not a big fan of bad guys.
Right.
I'm not a big fan of playing as the villain, personally, as characters with no morals. And without, you know, any option really of going any other way, after a while, I'm like, I just feel like I'm going through the motions. Like, I've been to this building before. Why am I going back here to shoot someone else? I don't want to do that again. I'd much rather, you know, that's probably why I finished Metal Gear Solid 4 was because I was interested in seeing what was the next scenario. What's the next landmass that I'm going to get to see? You know?
Yeah.
That's
a good point. But it's just, you know, it's the long game, and you can get just lost in it not even doing the story. So I think that's why most people don't finish it. And I bet then, he's saying, okay, Chris Grant says that he thinks that less than 25% of the people finished it. Yeah, I bet that's right. I bet.
I think that's right, too. And I think that's the big exactly what you said. It's the biggest strength and the biggest failing of that game is that if you don't want to play the main story, you can still see everything the game has to offer.
Okay. Blue's got a question for me. He says, are you going to attend or cover the Tokyo Game Show? I don't mean just side note stuff on the podcast, but dedicated episodes or on the floor pictures or anything. Or a live call-in show or something, yes. I will do something. I don't know what. It depends a lot on if my mother-in-law is going to come and help take care of Ty. Because if she doesn't, then my time will be pretty limited. But I'm going to do my best, and I don't know what I have in store. I did buy a new video camera, so maybe we could do some videos. I don't know. We'll do something, and it'll be awesome-tastic, as you say. Loyalty wants to know what we think about the new Knight Rider TV show, which we talked about it briefly on the, maybe not so briefly, on the live show. But I watched the pilot episode, which I thought was sort of meh. And Whipsmart Banky sent me a YouTube video of the first real episode where Kit transforms into a truck, a pickup truck. And that shows jump the shark in the first episode, as far as I'm concerned.
I just think Val Kilmer was the right choice. For the voice of Kate.
I don't think they made very many right choices. Yeah. That could be just one of many wrong choices.
I think they should have brought back the Hoff. Should have been David Hasselhoff back as Michael Knight.
He's in the pilot.
Yeah, episode. But he's not on the he's not Knight Rider.
He's a mess, dude. He can't be doing this TV work. Show.
And you know what? Fine. How about we bring back William Daniels as Kit? He's still alive.
You know what they should have done? This would have been great. You know how, like, Iron Man
It should have been Ben Savage from that show. What was that show he was on? The one with the guy with Mr. Feeny, the voice of Kit, was his teacher?
Oh,
that show.
Topanga.
Topanga show.
Boy Meets World.
It should have been Ben Savage as Knight Rider with William Daniels back as the voice of the car.
No. Here's what they should have done. Michael Knight, bring back David Hasselhoff, right?
Or Will Friedle.
But
that would have worked.
Just listen to my idea. You know how, like, Tony Stark is an alcoholic?
Yes.
And, like, it screws up with him being, like, a superhero? Mm-hmm. So, David Hasselhoff in real life has a drinking problem. So, they should have him, like, Michael Knight, have a drinking problem in the show. And, like, Kit... It's the same Kit from the original show. So Kit is like sort of busted a little bit, and you know it would be interesting, I think, to see like Kit like yell at Michael because he's drinking too much, and you know drinking and driving. Kit will have to take over for him because he's drinking and driving. I think it could be pretty interesting.
That would be definitely a different show.
It would be very dark. They could make the show like really dark instead of really stupid like they did now. Thorbon3 wants to know, is there any chance of Wombat getting Netflix for their $9 a month plan so you can watch streaming movies on the 360? Hey, screw Wombat. What about me? I would do that if they would they probably won't.
I'll see what's available because we don't know what they're going to have on Netflix on the 360. Like they say it's going to be 10,000 movies, but they could be 10,000 crappy movies that I've already
seen. Robot Jocks.
Yeah, exactly. It could be Robot Jocks 1 through 10,000. And then I don't care.
And Revenge of the Nerds 3.
And all 7 Police Academy movies, except for the first one.
Right.
The Michael Winslow.
You mean Assignment Miami Beach?
Yeah, it'll be the Michael Winslow collection. That's what they'll call it. And that's all you get.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if they would let people overseas do that.
I'm going to go with no.
I wonder. We'll find out. Sonic Hog 91 says, hey, Cheapy, whatever happened to the CAG wiki? The site hasn't been updated for at least a year. Did you forget about it or just quit updating it or what? There's some sort of technical problem with the CAG wiki. So what I think we're going to do, and, you know, we got a lot going on with site improvements right now, so this is sort of back burner, but I'd like to get one that's better integrated into the forums so everybody has access to it just by using their, you automatically get logged in when you log into the site. We're going to do something with a wiki, but this one's going to be off. Continue to be offline for a little while longer.
Cool.
Cursor has a question. Uh-oh. It says, since you're both new parents and you're both married to non-Jewish women, I'm assuming that neither of your wives are Jubanese or Julumbian, and Judaism is matrilineal, what do your parents think about your children not officially being Jewish? I guess that the two of you could give two shits. Do you plan on bringing them up religious at all? Will Osaka grandma take tithe at shrines and temples? What do you say, Wahmed? Your wife's not Jewish.
Yes, she is.
She is Jewish.
Mrs. Wahmed is Julumbian. She is a Jew. She is one of the chosen people. She is adopted, remember?
Oh, right. Okay.
Mrs. Wahmed was adopted by two Long Island Jewish people. So she is officially Julumbian, which makes Sabrina the ultimate Julumbian, and therefore it's not an issue because my family's right. Not religious at all. Neither am I. It's my wife's parents that are more religious. The rabbi is my in-law's rabbi that was at my house yesterday.
I see. Yeah. I see. My parents are my dad probably doesn't care. My mom, yeah, she was not Jubanese. My mom might be a little disappointed that she's not like super religious or anything, but I don't know. We're not gonna teach them any religion, I don't think, because I think it's you know, aside from some nice, interesting stories, I don't know. I think it's sort of a waste. Like, I went to Sunday school and Hebrew school like 3 times a week, and you probably did too, right?
Yeah,
and it was sort of a waste of time.
I hated it.
I mean, I wish I took Japanese lessons. Yeah. If I took Japanese lessons 3 times a week, shit.
But you didn't have.
It wouldn't be.
But
in
there's
this
no
mess.
Such thing as a Jap mitzvah.
Yeah, but I didn't. I don't.
You
really
had to go to
a
Hebrew school for your bar mitzvah. Otherwise, they won't give you one.
I know, but I didn't really need a bar mitzvah. That's what I'm saying. Well, that I could. Well, I'd be fine.
I think you needed.
It,
I think. Well, didn't you get like paid his aid?
Nah, I don't think it really affected my life one way or another.
Says you. That's how I was able to get my first car.
Really?
Yeah, it was a piece of crap.
Wow.
But it was the first car.
Right.
It moved.
Okay, here's a question for you, Wombat, from E-Master. Wombat, I like hearing you on the show, and I greatly enjoy your part to make the show what it is. I do, however, find myself getting more and more irritated by the fact that you always want to be mentioned in everything Cheapy does and what everyone writes about CAG. Such as the usual comment you make, which is, where's their part about me? Or, it's missing, Wombat is awesome, etc. As well as actually asking for somebody to yell, Wombat is awesome, during the PAX panel Cheapy was on. Wombat, do you suffer from severe self-esteem issues? Have you considered seeking therapy for this or anything? The reason I ask is because it's getting really annoying having to hear you basically scream, what about me, at every possible opportunity. If you mean this in jest, I suggest ceasing, so it's because it's getting hard to listen to. He goes on longer, but and asks me how I constantly tolerate these antics for him. So, Wombat, what do you say?
I have low self-esteem. Congratulations.
All right, there you have it.
What do you want from me? I'm a human being.
Are you going to kick a man while he's down?
Exactly. I'm a human being, and I have issues just like everyone else. I have low self-esteem. Welcome to my world. Welcome to this Psychonauts game that is Wombat.
He wants to know how I tolerate this from you.
Pity.
I don't know. I pretty much, I ignore it, right? Or I tell you to stop.
Yes.
Don't I?
Sometimes. You have low.
Doesn't work.
I think you just have low self-esteem also and can relate.
No, I don't actually.
No, you're very.
I don't care.
You don't care what anyone thinks.
No, I just don't want. I just don't want things to be awkward. That's my. When I see somebody in public, that's my only problem that I have. Mysterine says, Cheapy, if your son becomes gay when he's older, would you get mad? No, I wouldn't get mad. That's a silly question.
Because you would have no son.
Son. I have no son. No, that's not true. Look, if whatever happens, happens. And, you know, look at Clay Aiken.
He does quite well for himself.
I don't know. Right. He could be the next Clay Aiken. I could still have a grandchild and blah, blah, blah. It's fine. Anything else we want to talk about here? Or should we just wrap her up? Oh, let's do one more. Pac-Manster 17 says, I've anticipated CAG 2.0 for so long, and I'm not afraid to ask, what is the status of the game database and collection system and other cheap-ass gamer content? What is fracking taking so long? Is it really a state-of-the-art, as you say, Cheapy? Yes, it is. It's coming in October, is what I am told by Super Programmer John. It sounds like it's going to be awesome. It sounds like it's going to not just be like this new add-on thing for Cheap Ass Gamer, but it's going to really change the core of how people use Cheap Ass Gamer. Like, I mean, the trading system and stuff, you can see how that would change, because right now people just post threads and they post their trade lists. This way, I mean, you can continue to do that if you want, but if you want to use our trading system, all this shit can be automated. And you'll have, like, preferred traders and, you know, a whole network of traders that you go through. And same thing with the deal stuff, because we'll have an automated deal searching system. So, like, if you look up a game, you can see, you know, what threads are in the deal forum that relate to that particular game. And also, you know, at a glance, what the stores are all selling it for and what CAGs have been selling it for to each other. There's a lot of shit that sounds ridiculous, and I can't wait to get my hands on it for the beta and to launch it, because I think it's really going to change Cheap Ass Gamer. It's
exciting.
It's a huge change.
Huh? I said it sounds exciting.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be great. Okay, let's wrap up the show, Wombat.
I can't wait.
I want to remind everybody to dig the CAGcast at dig.com/podcast/CAGcast. And please review us on iTunes if you haven't done so. We haven't been getting that many, and we'd like to have your reviews. So just load up iTunes and type in CAGcast, and you will be able to review us.
That's all it takes.
That's all it takes. And an account, I guess. And a credit card, I think.
And if you go to Facebook, you can see the video of my dog and the baby that Cheapy liked so much.
Right. Was is that in the CAGcast?
No, we weren't able to upload. It was a pain. So now they're telling me that the file's too big, even though we already linked it to my page and my wife's page. So whatever.
Weird. Okay.
But if you find me, you can find the video. And tell everyone how great the video is.
It's very cute. If you want to see Wombat's dog licking his daughter's face for 30 seconds, this is the video to see.
You love it.
I can't imagine any other video that you'd want to see.
Me neither.
Check out Wombat's blog over at gamesblog.ugo.com, because if you're not like E-Master and you're not tired of Wombat. And actually, he said he liked you, Wombat. He just didn't like that particular Wombatism.
The fact that I have low self-esteem.
Yes.
And I do.
Yeah. So check out Wombat over there vote for us, nominate us for the podcast awards, podcastawards.com in the gaming and People's Choice Award categories.
And don't forget, my video game analyst offer still stands. I will analyze your game for free.
It's wombat@cheapassgamer.com.
Yes, or you can just email me hello@wombat@cheapassgamer.com.
Right. If you want to send him some pornography,
I like pornography.
Your penis level,
I like penis levels.
Little Big Planet.
I hate.
No, he doesn't. Okay. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. I guess last week we did this live show on we do the live show Thursday nights 8:30 Eastern on nowlive.com. Last week we had some technical problems.
We crashed the site because we had too many people.
I don't know if that was the problem.
I like that better though. It sounds good.
Okay, fine. I don't know if we're going to do it again this week. Let's call that like a game day decision, since we did the show a day late.
Sounds good.
Let's play it by ear. Could happen.
Could not.
Maybe not. Maybe could not. You'll have to wait and find out. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week for the pre-Tokyo Game Show Spectacular.
Woo!
Which probably has nothing to do with Tokyo Game Show at all. Okay, see you then.
Hey Sonic, let's race for a box of honey nut Cheerios.
Race for the taste, the honey sweet taste of honey nut Cheerios.
It's the honey nutty part of this complete breakfast.
Hey Sonic, how can I be as good as you?
Race for the taste.
Now Honey Nut Cheerios offers you free Sega game tips right on the box, plus a chance to instantly win a Sega Genesis with the new Dr. Robotnik or Toe Jam and Earl Panic on Funkatron. Chances of winning 1 in 10,000. Check Mark Fox.